Hello and welcome to Design Leadership Insights, a podcast where I share the real stories, strategies, and lessons learned from building and leading design teams. I'm Paul, and I've spent the last 15 plus years navigating the complex world of design leadership. Let me start with a question. Have you ever walked into a situation where you were basically starting from zero? Back in 2020, that's exactly what happened to me. I joined a global logistics company and discovered there was no UX department. None. Design decisions were being made by developers, user experiences were wildly inconsistent, and our brand presence was all over the place. Fast forward to today, and we have a thriving team of 16 designers across three regions, delivering measurable business impact through user-centered design. In this first episode, I'm going to share exactly how we did it, the challenges, the strategies, and the lessons learned along the way. The first challenge wasn't simply about hiring designers, it was about creating the environment where design could actually thrive. Success required more than just building a team, it meant establishing design as a cornerstone of business strategy. I remember sitting at my desk during that first month, conducting a comprehensive audit of the company's digital presence. The findings were, frankly, shocking. Inconsistent interfaces across products, no standardized design patterns whatsoever, and a fragmented brand experience that left users confused. But what I quickly realized was that within these challenges lay a massive opportunity for transformation. Before I could even think about hiring, I needed to secure buy-in from leadership. This wasn't going to be easy. I couldn't just walk in talking about better user experiences in abstract terms. I needed to speak their language, so I developed a data-driven presentation that connected design improvements directly to business outcomes. I included industry case studies and benchmarks demonstrating how user-centered design drives significant business results. From dramatic conversion increases to substantial gains in customer satisfaction. The key was translating design value into metrics that mattered to the C-suite. Faster development times through reusable components, increased lead generation through consistent branding, and reduced support costs through intuitive interfaces. With leadership support secured, it was time to develop a strategic hiring plan. Now, I could have rushed to fill seats. The pressure to scale quickly was definitely there, but I knew that being deliberate about the first few hires would be crucial. The first two people I brought on were senior designers with deep experience in design systems, typography, and information architecture. This wasn't by accident. I knew that establishing a strong foundation through a universal design system would be crucial for our scaling efforts. Here's something I wish I had known earlier in my career. Strategic hiring trumps quick scaling every time. When pressure mounted to fill positions quickly, we held firm to our plan. Starting with just two senior designers who had deep design systems, experience seemed slow initially, but their work created the foundation for everything that followed. These first hires built our universal design system, which later enabled us to double development speed and maintain consistency across regions. But building the team was just the beginning. As we grew, it became painfully obvious that informal processes wouldn't scale. We needed structured approaches that would work across time zones and cultures. I'll never forget one particularly disastrous early meeting. We had designers from Seattle, Dubai, and Bengaluru on the call, all trying to give feedback on a new feature. It was chaos. People talking over each other, no clear structure, and by the end, everyone left frustrated and confused about next steps. That was the moment I realized we needed a framework. So I developed a design critique framework to ensure that feedback would be constructive and actionable. Projects are shared 24 hours in advance, presentations are time-boxed to 15 minutes, and feedback follows a structured I like, I wish, what if format. Every session ends with clear, assigned action items. The transformation was immediate, and meetings became focused, productive, and actually enjoyable. Along with this, we implemented a team growth framework that maps skills quarterly, sets individual growth plans, and aligns learning opportunities with team needs. Monthly check-ins ensure we're on track and can adjust course as needed. But perhaps the biggest challenge was building genuine connections across a 12-hour time difference. Leading a global team across the USA, India, and Dubai presented a fundamental issue: how to create real collaboration when team members are literally on opposite sides of the world. The solution wasn't just about managing schedules, it was about demonstrating genuine respect for team members' lives and well-being. Instead of imposing meeting times that benefited one region, I implemented a rotating schedule that shared the burden of time zone differences. Some days the US team started early, other days the India team adjusted their schedule. This approach sent a clear message. Everyone's time was equally valuable. One of my most memorable experiences was during an in-person visit to our India office. I spent a week working side by side with the team, and it completely transformed our virtual relationships into genuine bonds. The highlight: an evening of shared meals, drinks, and celebrations that revealed another side of my colleagues. Discovering that the India team could outparty their American counterparts wasn't in any management handbook, but it created the kind of authentic connections that strengthen remote collaboration. The impact of our transformation has been significant. Development speed doubled through our universal design system. Lead generation increased by 70% through improved brand consistency. Team retention held at 89% over 4 years. But perhaps more importantly, this transformation created a sustainable model for design excellence. The design team now shapes product strategy, influences business decisions, and delivers measurable impact rather than simply executing tasks. So, what can you take away from our journey? Here are the key lessons I've learned. First, start with data, not design. Before jumping straight into fixes, invest time gathering data that speaks leadership's language. When we catalog development inefficiencies, documented customer complaints, and benchmarked against competitors, it transformed the conversation from "we need better design" to "we're losing potential revenue due to specific UX issues." Second, document your processes. We discovered that casual design reviews and informal feedback didn't work across time zones. Our structured critique framework created a common language that worked whether you were in a morning meeting or late night review. These documented processes became our shared playbook, enabling consistent quality and growth across regions. Third, authentic connections matter more than tools. While we had every collaboration tool available, real breakthrough came from understanding the humans behind the screen. These personal bonds made remote collaboration resilient. People went the extra mile for teammates they knew and trusted. Fourth, rotate the burden of time zones. Instead of fixing meeting times that favor one region, implement a rotating schedule. This creates mutual respect that strengthens your global culture. And finally, measure everything, but don't let metrics rule. While we tracked development speed, retention rates, and user satisfaction, we also created space for unmeasurable exploration. The simplified onboarding flow that significantly reduced user confusion started as an idea in a team brainstorming session. It wouldn't have emerged if we were solely focused on incremental, measurable improvements. The journey from solo contributor to leading a team of 16 has taught me that scaling design impact is about more than just growing headcount. It's about creating the conditions where design can thrive, building sustainable processes, and consistently delivering business value through user-centered solutions. In our next episode, I'll dive into the 89% solution, my framework for building and retaining a high-performing design team. We'll explore the specific strategies that have helped us maintain an 89% retention rate over 4 years in an industry known for high turnover. Until then, I'm Paul, and thanks for listening to Design Leadership Insights.